This is May Day. Happy May Day. I don't know what we do with that anymore. Do you still get candy and popcorn on your front steps? Yeah? That happens every once in a while at our house. I think it kind of depends on the kids in the neighborhood. So this is May Day, but this is not only May Day. This is Low Sunday. Did you know that? This is Low Sunday. The highest attendance of the year in a church is, guess what, Sunday? Easter Sunday. Imagine that. And the week after is Low Sunday. Now, I'm not sure why that is. I know some things are going on. I know it's prom weekend, and a lot of our kids stayed up till, well, some of them haven't gone to bed yet. And some people probably say, well, I went to church last week, so I don't have to go this week. But it's Low Sunday. And it kind of bothers me. It kind of bothers me that we have this service that we get all excited about the risen Christ, and there's just kind of a vibe in the room, and everybody's pumped, Jesus is risen, you know, he's risen indeed. And then you come to church next week, and it's kind of this, you know, it's like you lost all the joy, you lost all the enthusiasm. And I think we should be as excited about Jesus Christ every Sunday that we're together as it is Easter Sunday, don't you? I think there's a problem when you lose sense of the risen Christ. And this morning, as we spend some time together, I had the really mixed up message this morning. It's like three-parter, and I don't have manuscripts, and I don't have PowerPoint. But I just want you to see some truths about why we worship Jesus Christ and why I believe we should do it every Sunday of the year. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Last book of the New Testament. Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to center in on verses 4 through 7 or 8 this morning. And John, he begins by greeting the seven churches in the province of Asia, which is modern-day Turkey. And he says, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come," probably a reference to God the Father, "and from the seven spirits before his throne," and that's probably a reference to the Holy Spirit in his completion, "and from Jesus Christ." So he greets his audience in the name of the Trinity, but then John focuses in on Jesus Christ and talks about who he is in verse 5a. And I think he gives us three good reasons here why we should worship Jesus Christ. First, he calls Jesus Christ the faithful witness. The faithful witness. This responds to Christ's prophetic ministry of faithfully bringing forth the word of God and his teaching, faithfully declaring the truth to people. Aren't you glad that Christ has revealed truth to you, that he is the faithful witness? And then John describes him as the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. This is referring to Christ's position of honor. Not just being the first one to be raised with a glorified body, but being the highest of those raised from the dead. We know in the Old Testament, the firstborn always had the privileges. The firstborn had the recognition. The firstborn had the honor. And that's what John is saying here. We're recognizing Christ as the firstborn from the dead, holding the highest honorable position. So Christ is the faithful witness. He is the firstborn from the dead. And then John describes him as the ruler over the kings of the earth. And this speaks of Christ's authority. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He sits in authority over every earthly leader, every national leader on this planet. And whether people recognize it or not, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So as we begin our time here this morning, and as we sing this song together, let's recognize Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, Jesus Christ, the ruler over the kings of the earth. That is why we worship him this morning. If you turn back to Revelation chapter 1, you see that John not only talks about who Jesus Christ is and why he is worthy of our worship, but he spends the next few verses, verses 5 through 6, talking about what Jesus Christ has done. And that also makes him worthy of our worship. Moving on, John writes, "To him who loves us." Very easy to kind of just read right on by. I want you to just let that soak in. To him who loves us. Sing with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Say, he loves me. Say, he loves us.
He loves us.
And this is not just some warm, feely kind of love. It's a unconditional, sacrificial, committed kind of love. Kind of interesting. If you have the King James in your lap, it says he loved us, past tense, and the NIV says loves. Well, which one's right? Well, it really doesn't make any difference because they're both true. Galatians 2, verse 20 says that the Son of God loved me, past tense, and he gave himself for me. Ephesians 5, verse 2 says, Christ loved us, past tense, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then Romans 8, 39 says that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he loved us and he continues to love us. And that is what we remember when we eat the bread. And if you have received God's gift of love through his Son, Jesus Christ, you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to partake of communion this morning. This is a time to remember that simple truth that he loved us and he loves us, and he showed us that love by the greatest expression of love, laying down his life for us and our sins. Back to Revelation chapter 1. John tells us that he loves us, and he goes on to say, who has freed us from our sins by his blood. Other translations read, who has washed us from our sins by his blood, or has loosed us from our sin by his blood. All three of them were accomplished at the cross. He washed us from sin stains. 1 John 1, 7 says, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. He loosed us from sin's chains. Romans 6:6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Amen? He washed us from sin stains. He loosed us from sin's chains. And He freed us from sin's claims. Romans 6:18, we have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We were all slaves. Slaves to things like selfishness. Slaves to pride. Slaves to lust. Slaves to greed. But we have been redeemed. We have been purchased by a price far greater than rubies or gold. We have been purchased with His blood. We have been freed. Let's give thanks for that. Continuing on in Revelation chapter 1, after telling us that Jesus loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, John adds one more thing. Who has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. Because of our faith in Christ's sacrifice and shed blood, we have been given two incredible, awesome privileges. First, we have citizenship in God's kingdom. As Ephesians 2:29 says, "For we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." I know we're proud to be American citizens, and for good reason. But I hope you are very proud to be a citizen of God's kingdom. And secondly, the privilege we've been given is we are priests. Priests to serve His God and Father. Peter said we're part of a royal priesthood. We're priests who can speak to God. We're priests who can serve God. In Hebrews 10:19 says we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says, we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Priests to serve His God and Father. It's our response to His love for us. It's our response to the truth that He has freed us from our sins by His blood. Let's rejoice in that truth together. We worship Christ because of who He is. We worship Christ because of what He has done. And then John tells us in the final verses there through verse 8 that we worship Christ because of what He will do. He says, look, He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I think sometimes we forget this part of the story. We kind of end at the tomb and forget that He has ascended into heaven. And He sits at the right hand of the Father. And He is going to come again. There's more to come. And that's another reason to get excited. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, for whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, what? Until He comes. One day, Jesus will return to earth just as He promised. And He described it in Matthew 24, verse 30. He said, the Son of Man will come on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And the world sees Him. They will mourn. And they will mourn either because Christ will be coming at that time to judge, or they will mourn because they are aware of their own sin. But every eye shall see Him. And His coming back to earth, folks, will be just as real as His sacrificial death. It will be just as real as His resurrection from the dead. Turn ahead a few chapters, Revelation 22. And three times, John writes something about this coming. Verse 7, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." Verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the eternal Son of God." And then verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.'" And we need to live in light of that coming. Peter says we ought to live holy and godly lives because he's coming soon. That is our response to the cross. That is our response to his resurrection. That is our response to all the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. So let's leave here today, remembering who he is, remembering what he has done, and remembering what he will do. He will come soon. So let's give our entire lives back to him. Let's celebrate that truth as well.